The Tampa Bay Buccaneers could see a division rival get the best quarterback set to hit free agency, while their in-house candidate seems unlikely to wind up the starter. Let's go.
You are Locked On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, and welcome to the Locked On Bucs podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We are your daily podcast covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, free and available on all platforms, including YouTube and the 10 Tampa Bay Plus app. And we thank you for making us your first listen or view of the day. I am James Yarko, deputy editor of SB Nation's BucsNation.com, finally reunited with my good friend Evan Klosky of 10 Tampa Bay. You can check out everything he's doing over on 10 Tampa Bay and at 10tampabay.com, and make sure you are following everything on Twitter at Locked On Bucks, at JRCO underscore Bucks, and at E Klosky WTSP. Again, we thank you for making us first listen or view of the day. This episode of Locked On Bucks is brought to you by Nissan. The only thing more exciting than the big game is the all new, all electric 2023 Nissan Ariya. There's only 4 days left until the Super Bowl. Are you ready? The Nissan Ariya, the EV for people who love to drive. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Buccaneers quarterback Kyle Trask is going to be more affected by the coordinator change than most other players on the team, and it may cost him a chance at earning the starting spot. But before we get to that, we have to discuss another quarterback that has been on the minds of Buccaneers fans, and now it's for a very, very bad reason. Derek Carr was given permission to visit the New Orleans Saints by the Raiders, as reported by NFL Network's Ian Rappaport, but that does not mean that a trade is imminent. Now, the Saints are currently about $60 million over the salary cap, but we know how good the Saints are at restructuring and manipulating the cap, so that really isn't an issue. The biggest question, Evan Klosky, is, are they going to give up draft capital to ensure that they land Derek Carr and not risk him not only going to another team, but potentially prevent him from going to a division rival, considering that the Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers both need a quarterback?
You think through a pandemic, I've learned when to unmute and mute. Yeah, you know, there's part of me that thinks this is all for show. There's been a little bit of steam in the Derek Carr to Buccaneers camp, especially when you consider, A, all the reports out there that the Glazers do not want to take a step back. They lived in a horrible world for a long time. They just added a bunch of seats at Ray J. They forced their fans to commit for 2 years. There's a lot of reasons as to why the team doesn't want to just rebuild it and figure it out again. Derek Carr coming in would essentially make that, whether I would predict them as the NFC South winners or not, that remains to be seen on how they navigate the offseason. But at least making that signing would, at the time being, make them the NFC South favorites entering next season. I would say that probably the Panthers would be the close two, and you have to, you know, factor in whatever the Saints are doing at QB. But to me, if there's a lot of steam picking up on the Bucs and Derek Carr, and a lot of those higher ups know what's going on a lot more than we do, you know, there might be some gamesmanship here of putting pressure on Tampa Bay to say, oh, if you don't get him, look where he might be heading. Heading into your division against your rival. Do you really want to hold on to those picks as badly as you think you need to? I just don't see the Saints being a match. I mean, I can understand why Derek Carr would want to be there. You know, I don't think Mikey Thomas is going to be a part of the equation next year if they get it, especially with where their salary cap is. That seems like a very easy cut. But even beyond that, I mean, with Olave and some of the other options, it's certainly appealing. But it's not like Sean Payton is there anymore. It's not like they have this this offensive system that is a huge draw. I would argue that the Buccaneers certainly have a much better pitch, especially since they, which could be pun intended on who they hire at OC, depending on who they get. And I think that's sort of the deliberate nature of this offensive coordinator search. I don't think it's a coincidence that that hasn't been made yet. And there are still some moving pieces onto what that, you know, what's going to happen there in free agency and who they're going to get and whether that's going to be Carr or someone else is going to dictate which direction they go at OC. So I'm not making too much of the Saints and the Carr visit. I actually still believe that the Buccaneers are still very much in the hunt for Carr. I think that they're one of the top three teams who I think could land Carr. And I still don't see why teams would fight over Carr when everyone knows the Raiders have no leverage. Everyone understands that, right? Like, you're going to have to release him, and then we will all fight for him between us. But, you know, I don't understand, outside of giving away maybe a seventh, that you would ever give the Raiders anything of substance for Carr. They, you know, it just fear tactics. It just, it makes, you know, that's why I think this is all game. Like, the Raiders have to have Carr talk with a team to create some sort of feeling that something is percolating and you need to move on it fast or else you could lose out on him. That's all they got.
I guess it's the bird in the hand is worth two in the bush kind of idea that, you know, the Saints did just get additional draft capital because of Sean Payton. Now, if they trade for him to make sure they don't have to win a bidding war, that also means that they win the right to guarantee him $40 million on February 15th. So, you know, I can understand if you're going to give up a little bit of draft capital to make sure that he doesn't hit the open market. You have your guy, you know who he is moving into the scouting combine and moving into the draft and into free agency and all of that. But I totally get what you're saying. You know, teams know that, you know, they're not going to have to give up a ton of draft capital, if any at all, because Las Vegas has to release him. You have no choice but to release him, or you're guaranteeing him that $40 million, and the Raiders just flat out can't do that. So I think it's probably a very slim, very, very slim chance that Carr does get traded, but I don't think it's impossible if a team wants to make sure that if they believe Derek Carr is their guy, that's the one way you guarantee yourselves to get him.
For sure. I just feel like for teams like the Saints, like the Buccaneers, mm-hmm. teams that are very much in a transition mode, they need the draft capital. You know, teams like the Jets who feel like they're a quarterback away, then it leans towards making that move. If you think he's the guy, then I agree exactly with your sentiment that, you know, if this is really the piece that you think is it and you don't want to lose him, secure it. But the Saints are not, like, I'm going to call their bluff on the Saints. It's pretty much where I'm at. I'm not scared that he's talking with the Saints. If it was the Jets or any sort of, but that's my point, is that it feels like a sham. Because it doesn't feel like the Saints can realistically bring in Carr, make the money work, and do all the things that you have to do. And I understand that the Buccaneers are not far off of their position with where they stand with Carr and that money. But right. I also tend to believe that the Bucs are a little bit more stable on who, like, despite all the changes that they're going to have, they still have a lot of dudes who were successful and just took this team to three straight, playoff appearances, one Super Bowl, one 13-win season, and a year that went to crap, mostly because the offensive prowess was we have discussed all season long. So I just think that if we truly believe that this team last year with a competent offensive mind and an offensive playbook and what could have really put this team in set was probably an 11-win team, then you figure if you put Carr into this situation with a little bit of drop off somewhere, you know, defensively, not offensively, they're mostly going to have the same people back. It, you know, they might lose Donovan Smith, but I would argue that He played like a replacement player last year anyway. You would just be hoping that this year would be a rebound based on maybe last year being injury and mental stuff that we don't know. But offensively speaking, this team should still be pretty set. Whereas I still think the Saints are kind of falling. You know, they didn't have the plan B with Drew Brees, and you're seeing life not only without Drew Brees, but life without Sean Payton, who covered up a lot of their mistakes and a lot of their shortcomings along the way. And at least with the Buccaneers, you're just kind of trying to insert a quarterback, which would still make you a pretty competitive team. Not a Super Bowl winning team, I don't think, but a competitive team.
In the NFC, you just never know. But going back to the Buccaneers roster as it is, Kyle Trask has an uphill battle that you and I are going to get into, and it's going to cause some Bucs fans some frustration, but it's going to cause some other fans some relief. That is coming up on WTSP Wednesday here on the Locked On Bucs podcast. This episode of Locked On Bucs is brought to you by Ultimate Football GM. You've heard us talk about this mobile game app, and I can't tell you how much fun we all had competing with one another here within the Locked On Podcast Network. But now it is your turn to compete. Have you ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your football franchise? Your dream can come true, and this game is definitely for you. You'll manage every strategic aspect of your team, play through seasons, and lead your team to glory, trying to build a dynasty. With Ultimate Football GM, you're responsible for controlling the destiny of your franchise by hiring the right coaches and coordinators, trading players, making draft picks, navigating your franchise through free agency and the draft, all the ups and downs of a season. All of this in a challenging and realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline, so you can play on the go as you want to, when you want to. As for Locked On Bucs fans, Ultimate Football GM will be hosting a special competition where you can win amazing monthly prizes. Stay tuned for details in an upcoming episode. Locked On Bucs listeners can get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using promo code Locked On, all caps, all one word, in the game store. That's Locked On, all caps. So make sure you check it out today. To download the game, visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up on the App Store. That's ultimate-gm.com. Ultimate Football GM, start your dynasty today. Thank you again for making Locked On Bucs your first listen or view of the day. Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times pointed out some issues with Kyle Trask, most notably his ability to grasp the offense that he played in for the last 2 years. And a lot of fans are saying they just need to start Kyle Trask this year, figure out what you have in him. Some believe that if anyone knows what they have in Kyle Trask, it's already the Buccaneers, who have gotten an up close and personal look at him over the last 2 years. But you're talking about a guy, if he really did have trouble grasping the offense that he was in for 2 years, now you have a new offensive coordinator coming in. You have a new system that he is going to have to learn. What is your take on Kyle Trask's situation, his future with the team, and whether or not, you know, if this report is true, and we have really no reason to believe that it's not, is he even going to be a starting candidate if he has that much trouble trying to figure out the offensive schemes?
I think they're going to enter camp with him fighting for that job. Unless they make a trade for Derek Carr, then he's going to be fighting for that backup role. But let's ignore the Carr discussion. Let's ignore Garoppolo or anybody else who can come in.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the fact is, if they bring in anybody who we think they're going to bring in somebody, that somebody is going to have the path to week one starter. Kyle Trask is going to get a lot more practice reps. He's going to, I mean, he's not going to get any mulligans anymore. He's going to be able to prove himself. If he can push himself to the top of the depth chart, then so be it. But I still find it highly concerning that in 2 years of action on this roster, he only suited up twice. And for a guy who is your second round draft pick, I don't really care about winning the backup job, because this coaching staff loved Blaine Gabbert. Bruce Arians was ready to go to war with Blaine Gabbert when Tom Brady retired the first time. They truly believe that Blaine Gabbert is a NFL starting caliber quarterback. And I'm not here to argue whether that's true or not. That's just what the staff believed. But the fact that he didn't really win the number three job is the problem. And when you have Clyde Christensen seeping out there that he's a slow learner, he's deliberate. Those are the tea leaves that kind of explain, okay, they're definitely like, you know, they feel like he's not picking things up as fast as he should be. Has nothing to do with work ethic. He is a guy who, at least, you know, when I go to One Buck, he's always out there first getting those passes and those reps. But it's just kind of the, you know, like, for me, at least for me, like, when I was going through school, like, I had friends who were naturally brilliant and could mm-hmm. just take a test and nail it. For me, I had to spend hours to study what the test was going to be on to get a great grade. And in the business of the NFL, you don't have time to always take time. They need you to do. They need you to, hey, quickly, you know, we're going to make a wrinkle here, we're going to make a wrinkle there, and you have to pick it up. And, you know, you don't have the ability to really let it seep in. I don't know how much a new playbook is going to really factor into that. I think a lot of the maturation process of learning the NFL playbook and what those playbooks look like and the terminology and the length of it and all this stuff, I think will help him transition into a new playbook. But I am certainly not expecting Kyle Trask to be the week one starter, though people in that organization still believe he is a lot better than what is maybe being reported out there or what our tea leaves and our game reports indicate. There are still believers in that food chain fairly high up who think that Kyle Trask has a shot. He was always a late bloomer. He was a late bloomer in high school. But I don't even, you know, he didn't even start on his team. I forget who was the popular quarterback who started on that team. But then, you know, Florida, he didn't earn a starting job there for similar reasons. Every stop he's gone through in his football career, it has taken him a while to grasp everything and allow his skill set to match his mind and where he's got to go. So if he follows a similar trajectory of his entire life, year three and year four is really where we're going to see the biggest leaps. So that will be interesting to watch. But if they don't get Derek Carr, we will certainly be having a lot of discussions leading up to the draft, leading up to free agency. They need competition there for him regardless, unless they are in full send it mode. We are tanking, you know, and I don't think that this roster is bad enough to fully tank. It's just not.
You underestimate the desire to have Caleb Williams on your football team.
So. I love Caleb Williams. I think I've said on this podcast I would love to suck for Caleb Williams, because I think 1 year of sucking would be fantastic for 15 years of greatness. I've compared him to a better Jalen Hurts, by the way. And Jalen Hurts, who's in the Super Bowl, that's not shade to Jalen Hurts. He's just built bigger than Hurts. He has just as much the accuracy and just as much the legs. Like, he really is the modern day quarterback of what you're looking for in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's just brilliant. Like, I mean, he is a remarkable athlete, and we get to watch him another year at USC, but he is the real deal. And we'll get into this later. I don't really think the Buccaneers should be wasting draft picks this year on quarterbacks.
No.
If you're going to stink, next year's probably the draft. I think it's a better crop, a little bit more depth, and a little bit more talent higher up. This year, I just think you need to just fully focus on, like, a lot of defensive holes, which are going to be created due to the cap.
Suck for Luck, tank for Tua, crash for Caleb. But, you know, we touched on it briefly, the new playbook, the new offensive coordinator, all of that Trask is going to have to adapt to. The Bucs do have Bengals quarterbacks coach Dan Pitcher coming in for a second interview. They've interviewed quite a few candidates at this point, including Todd Monken, the fan favorite, but he also has a second interview with the Baltimore Ravens now. What do you make of the Bucs candidates that they have interviewed? And do you think this second interview with Pitcher is the one to kind of seal the deal and name him the offensive coordinator?
I don't know about seal the deal. I certainly, obviously, it's a good sign for him. It all, you also have to go back to the fact that that interview was over Zoom.
Right.
And it was while he was still kind of coaching his team. So this might be a more in-depth interview the way that they preferred. And as the process has played out, maybe they liked what they heard and they want to go through that a little bit more. I don't know how much time Pitch could have devoted to that interview or been as fully prepared. I'm sure he was fine in both respects. I just, you know, he was kind of busy at the same time. Wow. So, but, you know, as far as all the candidates, I mean, it's pretty cool who they're bringing in when you factor in a Zach Taylor disciple, someone coming from the Sean McVay tree, which is no different than what you're doing with Keenan McCardell coming from O'Donnell, who comes from the Sean McVay tree, Jim Bob Cooter, who just played with Doug Peterson, Shay Tierney, who comes from Daboll, Todd Monken, who you just know and just won two national championships. There's a very linear path of the type of OC that they're looking for. And, you know, outside of Clint Kubiak, who was part of an unmitigated disaster in Denver and who will almost certainly be out of a job with Sean Payton coming in, you would assume, since Sean Payton's going to, you know, be running that system, unless he's okay with just being the quarterback's guy again. It seems like the types of offenses that they're looking at, it's very clear the style that they want. And to me, that should excite fans. And that's why I think the Bucs in this draft, why I say that they need a bunch of defensive needs, I would not be surprised if they can get like a Zay Flowers or Jackson Smith and Jigba, that they wouldn't pull trigger on one of those two guys, because I think that completes what they want to do, adding speed to receiver alongside Godwin and Evans to really open up this offense with what they have in Rashad White and what I would assume to be a late round running back pick who they'll bring in. But you get him out, you get the speed figured out, you get that backup running back figured out, assuming that Leonard Fournette is a salary cap casualty without Tom in town, then you worry about the defense. But the quarterback again is a big decision. But I like their interview choices, and I think Dan Pitcher would be a great hire based on the respect that we've heard out of Cincinnati, who he's coached, and what that style of offense has been.
All right. Well, it is Super Bowl week, and that means it is time for Evan to dust off the old crystal ball and make some predictions about the big game coming up next on Locked On Bucks. Today's episode of Locked On Bucks is brought to you by Prize Picks. Pick 2 to 6 players, and if they will score more or less than their Prize Picks projection, you can win up to 25 times your money on any entry. No competing against other people. It's just you against the projections available. And they offer projections on any sport you can watch, from the NFL and NBA to MLB, NHL, PGA, and much, much more. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's that easy. Safe and fast withdrawals, and currently operational in over 30 states and Canada. Download the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com to sign up and play daily fantasy sports. First-time users can receive a 100% instant deposit match up to $100 with promo code LOCKEDON. If you deposit $100, Prize Picks will give you $100. You deposit $50, Prize Picks will give you $50. Just make sure you use promo code LOCKEDON at signup for an instant deposit match up to $100. This episode of Locked On Bucks is also brought to you by Built Bar. Looking for a delicious treat but don't want all of the fat and calories? Then you've got to try a Built Bar. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious. You won't think that they are good for you. They are perfect for your New Year's resolution. And what makes them so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, and coconut almond. Not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros, like 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. Head to your nearest Walmart today, walk to the pharmacy section and grab yourself a box of Built bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. And if you're close to a Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with hit flavors like brownie batter and churro. You can thank me later. Wrapping things up here on a WTSP Wednesday edition of the Locked On Bucks podcast, and it is Super Bowl weekend. That is right. The Kansas City Chiefs, the Philadelphia Eagles, squaring off, the Kelce Bowl, the Andy Reid Revenge Bowl, all of those things. Evan, I hope the crystal ball is working. We are going to get your predictions for this one. Let's start things off with your predictive player of the game. I guess you could say that this is your Super Bowl MVP prediction, maybe?
Yeah, I'm a little bit torn on this. My player of the game, I'm going to lean, and this goes into my bowl prediction, I'm going to say Devonta Smith. We're going to go back-to-back year, right? Cooper Kupp won it last year.
I like it.
Devonta Smith, and this leads into my bowl prediction, which is going to be he's going to be top 5 all-time in receiving yards in a Super Bowl game. 155 yards.
Holy moly.
152 is the benchmark right now. Danny Amendola and a couple others did it, but that would put him in the top 5. Don't like this Chiefs pass defense. That's the way to exploit them. And I just think that Devonta Smith and his trajectory and what he's been doing and the trust that those two have garnered over time, with not to mention a lot of the focus going to be on A.J. Brown. You know, we've seen Devonta Smith have big performances before in college in big games, and he's going to be a cool story when he pops off. So he's my MVP. But Hassan Reddick was also somebody who was really close, because I think he's going to be a game wrecker as well.
Absolutely. We could see a Von Miller-esque performance out of Reddick, you know, a la, well, that was Super Bowl 50, right? When Von Miller just absolutely destroyed Cam Newton all night long. We know the blueprint to beat the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, right? We just saw it a couple of years ago. It's the pressure with the front guys, you know, drop all your other players back in coverage and really make Mahomes work for it. I don't think he's going to be running any 500 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but that Eagles defense can absolutely bring it. So it'll be, certainly be interesting to see if that's the route that they go. I love the Devonta Smith pick. I'm sure that would help out one of my parlays. I think I have like 5 different parlays already set up for this game. One of them may or may not have a payout of like $27,000.
Good luck. Good luck.
I'll screenshot and send it to you. I think it's solid. It's possible.
That's what they all say.
All right. Chiefs, Eagles, you're predicting a massive game out of Devonta Smith. I assume you're going to go Eagles here. What is your score prediction for this one, Evan?
Yeah, my heart wanted to go Chiefs, but my head tells me that the Eagles are the better team on paper, like by a wide margin. And so I'm going to go Eagles 31, Chiefs 20, winning the Super Bowl. And I just think that, again, it felt like the Chiefs winning the AFC Championship, that reminded me of when Ohio State beat Clemson the year, you know, that they played Bama in the national championship and got whooped. It was like, right. it just felt like this was supposed to be a rebuilding year for the Chiefs, and they restructured things and people were injured and the you know, everyone was calling it Burrowhead. It just felt like that was their Super Bowl. And not that they're not going to be motivated or they have great players, yada, yada, yada. Just, I don't want to get caught up in the storylines. Eagles 31-20.
or even more recently, it reminds me of TCU beating Michigan. You know, that game, you know, TCU was kind of the small school in the Final Four there in the college football playoff and put on one of the most epic games we have ever seen between TCU and Michigan there. And then they go to the national championship against Georgia and just absolutely get bludgeoned. Exactly what we would have expected out of TCU going up against Georgia. So I like it. I like it a lot. You know, and David and I will be talking about this game coming up on Friday's episode. David will be back tomorrow. Again, we want to thank you for making Locked On Bucks your first listen or view of the day. For your second listen, check out Locked On NFL, bringing you the local insights you love to the national spotlight with daily conversations on the biggest NFL stories. Locked On NFL, available on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you're checking out Evan over there on 10 Tampa Bay and at 10tampabay.com. You can check out my work over at SBNationsBucksNation.com. You can get a hold of us via email at LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com or slide into those DMs on Twitter at LockedOnBucks. And, of course, follow myself and follow Evan on Twitter at JRCO_Bucks and at EKlosky, WTSP. Hope you all have an absolutely outstanding day. Stay safe, stay healthy, fire the cannons. And we thank you so much for joining us right here at Locked On Bucks.